A very good Monday. Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you national and regional agricultural news headlines. And I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Only a year ago, amid a severe drought, California rice farmers planted their smallest acreage since 1958. Now, thanks to an exceptionally wet winter and spring, California rice country is humming with activity again. Planes are dropping seed on flooded fields and equipment is working the ground as planting ramps up in the Sacramento Valley. Rice farmers are expected to plant 470,000 acres this year. In contrast, rice growers planted just 256,000 acres in 2022. Farms in the Valley's Glen Colusa Irrigation District planted just 1,000 acres last year. They typically grow around 100,000 acres. And California's total almond acreage decreased in 2022 for the first time in more than 25 years, despite a slight increase in bearing acres. According to Land IQ and the U.S. Department of Agriculture National Agricultural Statistics Service, total almond acreage in 2022, which includes non-bearing trees, was estimated at 1.63 million. That is a 1.2% drop from the previous year. The report also estimates 77,700 acres of orchards will be removed by late August this year. However, actual bearing acreage is expected to increase by 24,000 acres from 2022. Senate Bill 505 expands the Insurance Clearinghouse Program of the California FAIR Plan. The FAIR Plan stands for the California FAIR Access to Insurance Requirements Plan. It is an insurance plan of last resort to allow commercial insurance policies under the FAIR Plan to move back to the admitted commercial market. California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara is co-sponsor of Senate Bill 505, along with the California Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau previously worked with Commissioner Lara and Senator Susan Rubio, a Democrat from Baldwin Park, to pass Senate Bill 11 in 2021. That bill allowed farmers and ranchers who lost or were denied coverage in the competitive insurance market after devastating wildfires to obtain alternative coverage through the California FAIR Plan. Senate Bill 505, also by Senator Rubio, would provide opportunities for agricultural producers to move back to the competitive market with affordable commercial policies protecting farming and ranching operations. California's farmers and ranchers need insurance options to safeguard their ability to continue producing the food that America needs, that according to California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson. He says Senate Bill 505 provides agricultural producers who turn to the California FAIR Plan the ability to return to the competitive insurance market to protect farming and ranching operations. Senate Bill 505 is widely supported by insurers, brokers, and agents. They applaud Senator Rubio for her leadership on this issue and encourage the State Assembly to pass this important legislation so it may be signed into law to provide affordable coverage options for California's vital food producers. The California Farm Bureau works to protect family farms and ranches on behalf of nearly 29,000 members statewide and is part of a nationwide network of 5.3 million Farm Bureau members. Athian has announced the completion of their seed funding round with investments from two strategic partners. DSM Venturing, the corporate venture arm of Royal DSM, a global purpose-led company in health, nutrition, and bioscience, and California Dairies Incorporated, the largest dairy farmer-owned cooperative in California and second largest in the United States. Athian, the world's first carbon marketplace for the livestock sector, advances a global acceptance of its novel transactional carbon credit inset program with this investment from DSM Venturing and CDI, along with previous investors who include Elanco Animal Health Incorporated, Tyson Ventures, and Nutrient LLC. This game-changing innovation provides livestock producers with economic incentives for on-farm sustainability practices while helping improve global food system sustainability and reducing climate warming, according to a press release. CDI's membership has been leading the way in sustainable dairy farming investments, and they continue to move as fast as technology and on-farm economics allow, according to Simon Vander Wild, chairman of the board at CDI. He says this is an opportunity to showcase that hard work while doubling down to drive innovation and further improve the environmental footprint, ensuring that farms produce some of the most sustainable milk in the world across the various pillars of sustainability. Athian's carbon credit insetting platform will enable livestock farmers who implement sustainable practices the ability to earn revenue to fund those initiatives. Athian's key mission is to help the beef and dairy value chains capture and claim carbon credits earned through sustainability efforts. Athian aggregates, validates, and certifies greenhouse gas reductions and monetizes those reductions through the sale of carbon credits, which offer value to the supply chain as an important carbon asset related to Scope 3 emissions. The U.S. Energy Information Administration expects a slightly cooler summer in 2023, which will lead to less demand for air conditioning than in 2022. The result will slightly reduce overall electricity demand this summer. EIA expects that despite less electricity demand this summer, more electricity will be generated from renewable sources and natural gas throughout 2023. EIA forecasts this summer will see the second most U.S. natural gas consumption for electricity generation on record, surpassed only by last summer. EIA continues to expect significant growth in U.S. electricity generation from wind and solar, but the wet winter in California and the western United States should also increase electricity generated from hydropower during the coming months. EIA expects U.S. retail electricity costs will remain higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Those higher prices mean that even if households consume less electricity, their electricity bills will likely be similar to or slightly higher than last summer. Greenhouse operators are encouraged to participate in a 2023 State of Controlled Environment Agriculture Survey. IUNU, a technology company that specializes in artificial intelligence and computer vision solutions for the industry and for the University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources Department, is conducting a survey to gain insights on emerging trends and challenges to share with the controlled environment agriculture industry. The survey takes approximately 25 minutes to complete. All growers using CEA greenhouse, high tunnel, or indoor are invited to participate. All data collected is confidential and shared only as anonymous trends. No identifying information is ever shared. Growers who participate will get early access to the survey results and report, and will get access to an exclusive webinar to discuss the results with the authors of the report. The Ag Processors Association President and Chief Executive Officer Roger A. Isom has been named as president of the Ag One Foundation at California State University, Fresno. In 1979, several faculty, alumni, and friends of the Jordan College of Agricultural Sciences and Technology at Fresno State had a million-dollar idea to start a foundation that would benefit, promote, and support the college and its programs. The supporters set out to raise $1 million in permanent funds. Today, the Ag One Foundation has raised more than $27 million in endowed funds, which are invested with the Fresno State Foundation. Over the years, donors, board members, and volunteers have made it possible to award some 5,000 students with over $8.5 million in scholarships and program support. For the 2022 to 2023 academic year, Ag One will provide more than $850,000 to deserving students and programs. In response to the appointment, Isom said that this is truly an honor and a privilege to be associated with such a dedicated board and team helping students in JCAST achieve their dreams and help agriculture remain viable for the next generations. This marks Isom's sixth year on the Ag One Foundation's board of directors.
The sentiment, quote, "be careful what you wish for," is what Sperry Farms almond grower and manager Brian Walbrake said regarding this year's record precipitation. While all growers in the state were hoping for a wetter winter, some growers were adversely affected by the sheer amount of water entering their orchards, causing damage for some and requiring additional maintenance in other areas for others. Of course, none of this is to say that there weren't positives from the rain in addition to the negatives.
A lot of great things have happened this winter. Aquifers are recharged, refilled, snowpack's fantastic. So I think to start on a positive note, we're very positive from the California almond industry to be having this kind of water. So I think a couple of things, the abnormal levels really hit us on the orchard floor. We really got to a super saturated state for a very, very long time. So I think to start with that super saturation, There's a lot of creeks, small tributaries that came back, historical creeks, and then even looking at the Tulare Lake Basin resurfaced after a really long time. So I think you're dealing with, there was just a lot of issues right out of the gates. When you have that much water, even if it's moving or standing, we did lose a lot of trees just based on being flooded, being in water for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So we're seeing a lot of the tree die off right now. But I think the big thing was the wind. When you get super saturated conditions like that, we're in the foothills just east of Modesto, about 45 minutes. And we had winds sustained 30 to 40 miles an hour. And most of our storms are coming from the north in the winter. And we had a couple really heavy hits from the south this year. So it's kind of a quick education. Most of the damage in a hurricane or a tornado comes in that second stage when the wind's blowing one way, a certain direction for a sustained time, and then it comes back and blows the other way. And that's what we experienced here on our ranch. We have about 1,100 acres total in this region, and we lost 2,500 trees in the course of 3 months. Of that 3 months, we lost about 1,500 in 3 days. And that was when the south wind came. And you can see, I mean, if you drive around our area, you see the trees that got hit from the south wind. And if it was over 20 years old, we got hit pretty good.
Walbrink said he'd never seen wind like he did during the recent winter storms.
To come in a super saturated state, I think that was what made it so destructive. And actually driving around our whole region, the central region is about 34% of the entire, which is Fresno to Sacramento. That's about 34% of the entire almond industry in this area. And I've never seen that many downed trees in a short period like that. We have had wind before, but at different seasons and not as wet, it's okay because the tree can withstand it.
Walbrink spoke more on adjustments that Sperry Farms had to make in order to continue caring for the orchard while standing water prevented them from entering with machinery.
A few of our blocks during bloom, we had to go to aerial sprays. So our family, my brother-in-law's cousin is a crop duster. So we had to call him in to do some aerial sprays during bloom. So that was kind of out of the norm for us because the ground was so wet, we could not get the ground rigs in there. But as far as other maintenance, I mean, when you lose that many trees in the orchard, it's really difficult. And when the trees are dormant, you're able to drag the trees out of the orchard a little easier. But we've been losing them now with so many nuts in the tree. It's been very difficult to try to not knock all the nuts out when you're pulling them out.
There are a number of relief programs available to growers that have had similar experiences to Walbrink and Sperry Farms this season.
When you get into the federal flood disaster relief, I don't think most growers are qualifying for that because I believe you have to lose about 15% of the orchard to qualify for some of the big funding. So we're definitely not in that. Thank goodness we're not in that scenario. But we were able to chip a lot. We cut some out for firewood and then burn the attrition through burn piles. So San Joaquin Valley Air District has a really great smoke management system. We're able to apply online for burn days. So I think the air management system for San Joaquin gets a good nod for us this year. They've really been helping the growers out manage the burn days just to help get the trees out of the way.
On a positive note, some orchards like Sperry Farms' have experienced large natural recharge events from the rains and flooding, setting things up nicely for a likely hot summer.
We have a creek that really surfaces on major rains called Mustang Creek, and it crosses sandier soil. That creek was active for almost six consecutive weeks. So that block, you could almost see the water just absorbing right into the ground, right through the sand over the 6 week period. We didn't do any organized recharge where we had the basin and everything, but most of the areas around here, aquifers are great. Well, water levels are great. So we're seeing a lot of benefits. So there's a lot of answered prayers out there as far as water goes this year.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is taking additional steps as part of its commitment to strengthen the market for domestically grown organic foods and to support producers seeking organic certification. These funding opportunities are part of the USDA's Organic Transition Initiative, launched in the fall of 2022, which is a suite of offerings to help existing organic farmers and those transitioning to organic production and processing. Consumer demand for organically produced goods surpassed $67 billion in 2022, and multi-year trends of strong growth in the sector provide market incentives for U.S. farmers across a broad range of products. However, through public comment and listening sessions, USDA has heard that producers may be less willing to commit to the three-year transition to organic certification because of risks related to inadequate organic processing, storage, and handling capacity, cost barriers due to limited markets for rotational crops, a lack of certainty about market access, and insufficient supply of certain organic ingredients. The organic livestock and processed product markets depend heavily on imported agricultural products for feed grains and key ingredients. These are long-standing market issues that were brought into sharp focus due to the impacts of the pandemic and international conflicts in critical overseas organic supply regions, resulting in limitations on certain domestic organic products in the face of rising demand. For more information, log on to USDA.gov. Dan Riley has been named the Chief Financial Officer of the National FFA Organization and the National FFA Foundation. In this role, he will be responsible for the financial standing, performance, and reporting of the National FFA Organization and the National FFA Foundation. Previously, Riley served as Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for Goodwill of Central and Southern Indiana Incorporated. Fresh-cut flowers and plants are popular gifts for special occasions such as Mother's Day. Many bouquets contain flowers grown in countries where cool, wet climates have historically favored production. In 2022, the United States imported nearly $3.3 billion of cut flowers, plants, and nursery stock products from 81 countries, that according to USDA's Economic Research Service. Imports of fresh-cut roses totaled more than $800 million, while other fresh-cut flowers were valued at a combined $1.1 billion. Live plant imports were valued at nearly $860 million, and imports of other nursery stock products such as bulbs and greenery were valued at $492 million. Of the many countries supplying flowers and other nursery stock, Colombia made up the largest import value at $1.2 billion, and from 2018 to 2022, Colombia provided about 37% of U.S. cut flower and nursery stock in value. Other leading suppliers in 2022 included Canada, Ecuador, and the European Union, as well as Mexico, Taiwan, and Costa Rica. The American Farm Bureau Federation is urging USDA to accept the National Milk Producers Federation Federal Milk Marketing Order petition. AFBF says the petition provides a long overdue comprehensive federal milk marketing order hearing to ensure that consumers can access fresh milk and dairy products while protecting dairy farmers from potentially harmful market conditions. AFBF President Zippy Duvall is calling on USDA to hold a hearing on the FMMO reform and is asking the department to go further than the recent National Milk Producers Federation petition by asking for mandatory audited surveys of dairy processors to be used when determining the make allowances factored into dairy pricing. The letter indicates USDA's authority to conduct a mandatory audit under the Agricultural Marketing Agreement Act. This change and the need for additional reforms were part of a farmer consensus formed at the AFBF-hosted FMMO forum held in Kansas City, Missouri last October. National Milk filed its petition on May 1st, and USDA must respond to the petition within 30 days. Organic food sales in the United States in 2022 broke through $60 billion for the first time, hitting another high-level mark for the resilient organic sector. Total organic sales, including organic non-food products, were a record $67.6 billion, according to the 2023 Organic Industry Survey released by the Organic Trade Association recently. The organic market grew despite challenging headwinds, inflation pressures tightening consumer wallets, supply chain disruptions caused by the pandemic, and global political events, a proliferation of competing food labels in the grocery aisles, and a labor shortage felt acutely by organic producers. Inflation heated up as costs across the organic supply chain, the entire food supply chain, and boosted prices at the grocery aisles. As a result, the organic sector reflected the overall food sector, with the value of organic sales rising even as the growth in the volume of sales for some categories slipped. The sector's 4% growth in sales value was nearly twice the pace of growth in 2021. Organic food sales totaled $61.7 billion $1 billion, while the value of organic non-food sales hit nearly $6 billion. Certified organic now accounts for 6% of total food sales in the United States. Organic produce, often the entry point for new organic buyers, easily held its position as the top seller of all organic categories. Sales of organic produce totaled $22 billion, accounting for 15% of all fruit and vegetable sales in this country. Organic beverages were the second best selling organic category, and the third highest selling organic category was dairy and eggs.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.